This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Thursday. Good morning. Welcome in to Grant and Danny. 106.7 The Fan. The home shows are continuing for the foreseeable future. Broadcasting live from my basement and sending you a show live from his laundry room. We're your pals from 10 to 2 each and every day here on 106.7 The Fan. Danny, how has the stressful morning been for you?
Hey, buddy. A couple tales for you. We got started late yesterday afternoon. I'll give you the first one very briefly. Youngest down for his nap. Oldest, we're looking for activities. We're looking for things to do. We're just killing time until bedtime. So I have been meaning to do it, and I finally had some time. The wife had to run into her office where she's in isolation but getting some good work done after watching all the kids, you know, pretty much all morning long during our show. So I build this pitchback machine that we've been meaning to do, not machine, but like a netting so that he can throw the ball, catch the ball, work on skills, and it's a lot of fun. So we build the thing and somehow got ourselves locked out of the house. I still can't explain how it happened, but it did, and I had to, in shame, call my poor wife, who was just looking for just some solitude, trying to get her work done. She had to leave her office, come back, let us in while my youngest was still napping upstairs.
Was she reasonable and calm and, I'm sure, understanding, or was there some frustration there?
She was understanding, however, unbearably frustrated with me. She is working, you know, tippy toes, like trying to just, you know, corral our screaming loud terrors upstairs, like keeping away from the laundry room and all sorts of different things, and coming up with constant activities to fill the 4.5 hours or so that's needed to produce this thing. And all she asked for was, I don't know, maybe 90 minutes of solitude. I interrupted it after 12 minutes and said, hey, why don't you come on back and let your idiot husband back inside? And so again, this morning she left at like 6 to go into the office to do some real work. And I was out of ideas with what to do with the kids by about 8:15. I mean, we were all on devices. We watched Frozen all the way through before 7:45. This is just a lot, man. It is a lot with these cooped up kids. At least it's going to be nice in the next couple days, right? It's going to be almost 80 degrees.
It is, and I think hopefully people will be able to get outside and enjoy themselves a little bit without necessarily interacting with anybody. But that is nice, walk around the neighborhood weather, maybe get a little exercise, which is what people are just hoping to do. I think anything other than the monotony of sitting at home, a lot of us are just not good at being home all the time. And I know I'm in that camp where I couldn't work from home full time because I need to just get out and do something. I'm the kind of guy, like, at the end of a night where I haven't left, I'll just go to the gas station for no reason to find a thing to buy. I just have to leave my house. I can't really do that now, so I find myself just tinkering around in the tiny yard that I have or finding little projects to do around my house. But we're all in this thing together at this point.
That's the right way to put it, man. And as we talked about previously, If it weren't for my kids, I mean, obviously I love them and I'm happy they're here, but if they didn't exist, I would be great at this. Like, this would be my time to shine. The stay at home, rip through all the content, video games, you know, the ordering out. I mean, I would be so great at this, but you can't live that way. And everybody with young children knows that are mobile. You just have to kill time between when they're sleeping. You just have to figure out what to do. You have to tire them out. You have to change their scenery. Anything that lasts more than, you know, 15, 20 minutes is a win. And you're just looking for those increments throughout the day to get them tired enough where they go to sleep at night so you can have a couple hours of peace.
Yeah, that's what I don't get about the young people, millennials, or I don't know, are they Gen Zers or whoever they are now?
Gen Next or something?
Basically,
younger than you.
Just out of college.
Yeah.
And the people that, like, everyone's yelling at for going out and doing things.
Yeah, the ones that are ruining everything.
This would be amazing right now. Video games and DoorDash and Grubhub, and that's the dream. It's like college with nobody to tell you what to do all over again. I don't understand why it's so difficult to just have the most amazing time ever sitting at your house with no obligations. You're not allowed to do anything. That sounds perfect.
Yeah, I would be great at it, but these guys and gals that are the youngest people. I mean, this is what old people say. They sound like me. But the young people that everyone's mad at, correctly, by the way, who are just running through stop signs. Like Bob Henley is putting up the stop sign for the first time in his life, and they're sprinting through it, getting thrown out by 70 feet at home plate, Jason Worth, L.A. Dodger style. But goodness gracious, it should be so simple and easy, you're right, but everybody's got to make sure they get to whatever nubs Florida City to get hammered and touch each other. It's so frustrating.
We're going to post a poll here in just a few minutes. We'll tell you what it is at the start of next segment. At Grant H. Paulson, our poll a day non-sports to keep the doctor away. Today at 12:45, we've got day four of our movie club. We watched our third movie last night, She's Out of My League. So funny. I do love that movie.
My wife was into it, buddy.
Was she?
We finally got her on the program a little bit, because these other ones, Eye Roll, she had no interest in Lebowski.
Well, I think that's
double
key.
No interest in Bad Boys. But this one last night, it was like we were doing a team thing.
Yeah, so Allison watched the movie with me. I got some tweets from people saying their wives watched. That's good. I think that's healthy. Maybe we could try to do something. Doesn't have to be a romantic comedy, but some kind of a classic that couples can watch together tonight. But we will break it down at 12:45. Underrated chick flick that had me laughing a bunch, belly laughing last night. All coming up on Grant and Danny today. Also, I got a list of the industries most impacted by the coronavirus. A big idea from Adam Silver about trying to get players to play against each other before the NBA kicks back off. So there's plenty to tackle today. But I figured we should start. The Redskins have actually been busy. They're not making any major moves. In fact, I'm not even sure that they're making any moves that register kind of nationally. But they are adding a lot of pieces and, frankly, a lot of guys who could play a bunch for them this season based on their current depth chart. So since we got off the air yesterday, they signed free safety Sean Davis, who came over from the Pittsburgh Steelers. Running back J.D. McKissic, who played last year in Detroit, but I think people most know for his time in Seattle. And tight end Logan Thomas, who, whether you know it or not, you all remember, because he was the quarterback of the Virginia Tech Hokies at one point. He has transitioned now to being a tight end in the NFL. So just going piece by piece here on these three moves. The one that has the chance to help them the most is unequivocally Sean Davis. Davis, I talked to somebody with the team about yesterday via text message, and they said to me, Danny, they think that this guy could be a steal. They think he would have been, I won't use the word marquee, but a sought-after free agent had he not have gotten hurt. After week one last year, he played in just one game and missed the next 15. He was a full-time starter for two seasons before that on a pretty good defense in Pittsburgh, making 170 tackles, breaking up 15 passes, picking off four others with the Steelers. He's just 26. He's from D.C. He went to Maryland. I mean, he went to a merit school. I'm not really sure where that is. Do you, in D.C.?
No, I don't know that one.
But regardless, he's a local guy. Nobody loves signing players from their backyard more than the Redskins do. So Sean Davis comes back to Washington, and they really think he's going to be a center fielder who plays free safety and pairs well with Landon Collins, and they think he'll be an upgrade if he can stay healthy to Monte Nicholson. So they have added their starting safety yesterday. Semi on the cheap, 1 year and $5 million coming off an injury.
Yeah, again, one of those things where both parties can benefit, right? I mean, if he turns into a star, maybe you re-sign him, or he ends up going his separate ways, but you get quality play. If he plays well, everybody's going to benefit from this, right? But he may be priced out, kind of an Eric Flowers thing, but that's a good problem to have if you improve that. I mean, the idea of him is very good, right? It's
right.
The thing that I really am hoping, and there aren't a ton of those guys just floating around. I mean, it's kind of the way of the dodo. I really believe, and you could tell me what you think, it's kind of a chicken or the egg thing. Safety's becoming interchangeable, to me, has been less about defensive design and more about they just don't make these rangy center field types that can do everything anymore. And you kind of have to adapt, and you basically play with two strong safeties now or a, or a one strong safety and a glorified cornerback that's just kind of playing center field. I just don't think they make many of these guys anymore. So if you find one, you hold on to it for dear life, and or you're trying to, you know, maybe mine the bargain basement bin for one of these guys. And he comes available because of the injury. I mean, last year he's hurt after one game, and that's when Pittsburgh makes their Minkah Fitzpatrick deal with the Miami Dolphins, right? So the idea of him is very, very good. Pairing him with Landon Collins, who's able to come downhill pretty much all the time, let him kind of range in center field, playing some of the deep off the ball stuff. That's what I was hoping for in terms of a safety signing, but I couldn't tell you if this is solved or not, but the idea of him is very good.
Yeah, and I think Steelers fans will tell you he's not a star, and what I would say to them is, of course he's not. You're signing a guy to a one-year, $5 million contract. That tells you he's not a star. They don't need a star. They need someone who's not a liability, isn't going to get arrested or in trouble, or they have to talk to on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and then try to play him on Sunday amid some kind of scrutiny, which has been the case with Monte Nicholson off and on during his time here. Elsewhere, at other positions, they also found, I think, a Chris Thompson-like running back. I think this is now going to be their third down back, their pass-catching back, their two-minute offense guy in J.D. McKissic. He caught 34 passes for the Seahawks in 2017, 34 more passes for the Lions last year. You know, not necessarily a lock to make the team, but I think he comes in with Bryce Love, with Adrian Peterson, and Darius Geis, and presumably all four make the roster if they're all healthy. He's the change of pace, though. He's the guy that has a chance with Geis and Peterson carrying the football to do what Thompson did and stand next to Dwayne Haskins in the shotgun on third down and go out and catch some passes. McKissic, remember, when he broke out in Seattle, was a hot commodity for a couple of weeks there in fantasy football back in 2017.
Absolutely.
Last year had a couple decent games with the Lions. Again, a minor deal, but you know, you didn't take a risk there, so I kind of like that. He's only 26. And then lastly, Logan Thomas is 28 now. He caught zero balls in his first 3 years in the league, 7 in 2017, 12 in 2018, and 16 in 2019. So at a glacial pace, his progress has trended up. I'm thinking he's like a third tight end type, not much more than that. I don't know what the Redskins would say. I haven't heard back on some of the inquiries I've asked about Logan Thomas this morning. But that's kind of where I'm at on that. I think, you know, if he makes the roster, he's basically like what Jeremy Sprinkle has been to this point.
Yeah, so you'll notice no headliners here, right? There's no big splash thing, and I think that's fine. And we talked about this yesterday a bit, GP, just incremental improvement for a team that only won three games last year and can take its time with a brand new coaching staff. If you try to fill every need with a marquee signing in free agency as you end up, you know, playing the bidding war, you know, you could spend $22 million, $23 million on Amari Cooper. You could overspend for Austin Hooper. And, yeah, you're better, but it leaves you, you know, probably incomplete. I mean, this is sort of the slow and steady wins the race kind of feeling for the Redskins here, some below-the-line guys with some upside. I mean, you know, Thomas still, remember, we're not that far removed from him taking snaps in college as a quarterback. Next thing you know, he's, you know, sort of running around, as you said, a second or third tight end. And again, I think there's upside there. It's a worthwhile risk.
So, by the way, the Junkies used to have the dunce cap. I guess we have the Shame Bell. I need it. I guess it's not Merritt, it's Murray.
Yeah, and I know the Murray school very well, obviously.
Yeah.
It's 100 yards from St. Albans.
Gotcha. No, I mean, you're the D.C. private school knowledge guy.
The expert, yes.
I know nothing about any of them, but people are joning on me. So I guess it's the Murray school, so I should clean that up.
I think we're fine.
Couldn't recognize it if I was living across the street from it.
Which, by the way, it's wild that there's an NFL player who went to the Murray school.
Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, it is a small, super elite private school that's, you know, with all due respect to those guys, they've had some good teams over the years, but not a sports powerhouse. It's not St. John's. It's not DeMatha. It's not Gonzaga. It's the Murray School competing in the MAC. They're big rivalries, Sidwell friends, basically.
Three more minor moves for the Redskins, and that's what it's been so far. You throw Kendall Fuller into the extra base hit bucket, I guess.
That's
but otherwise,
move,
it's a bunch of bloop singles. The question for you is this. Your thoughts so far on the very quiet, very methodical start and the very kind of minimal free agent impact that they had in terms of the players that they're bringing in. They're not making splashes. They're not spending big on the best that were available, and most of that tier is now found homes. 800-636-1067. Want to get your guys' thoughts on these latest moves. 800-636-1067. We're Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Guys, Danny Ruya here. Ted Britt fan. I'm a Ted Britt guy. I want you to experience what I've experienced, which is the best buying experience in the D.C. area. I should say experience more in the first couple sentences of this read. The point is this. These guys are awesome at what they do, okay? They've been doing it for 60-plus years. Let them win your business. If you do something, you have a nice time while doing it, you're likely to do it again. They figured that out 60 years ago and have been crushing it ever since. I love them. I got three different cars over my life from Ted Britt Ford. When it's time for number four, guess where I'm going? You got it. It's Ted Britt. Now, some great deals abound at this point. How about your F-150? All right, your 2020 F-150, number one truck in America, $15,900 off the MSRP. How about a 2020 Ford Explorer, $11,600 off the MSRP? Okay, those are big cars and trucks, Danny. What about a smaller something, like a sedan? How about a Mustang, 2020 Ford Mustang, $6,800 off the MSRP. You got to go see my guys at Ted Britt Ford, Fairfax, Chantilly. Click away at TedBritt.com. And when you go, just tell them that Danny sent you.
This is The Fan. We are both on Twitter. You can hit me up at Grant H. Paulson if you'd like.
At Funny Danny for yours truly.
Couple of tweets that just came in. David says, I love the Logan Thomas signing. He went to high school where I used to teach. Virginia kid, very athletic. Needed one more year to be vested. He's got some skills and could be fun to watch. David, thank you for the tweet. And again, hit us up throughout the show if you don't want to or can't get through on the phones at 800-636-1067. Thomas, the tight end who played for Detroit last year in the Bills, Dolphins, and Cardinals before that, went to Virginia Tech, was the quarterback there, and is from Lynchburg, Virginia. The latest Redskin to sign this morning, agreeing to terms with the team to play tight end. J.D. McKissic, the running back, and Sean Davis, the free safety from the Pittsburgh Steelers, all having been added, according to reports, team can't make it official yet, in the last 15 or so hours. But, Danny, here's where I would go with that. You know, you get that tweet, and there's a couple other people that are pumped up because he went to Virginia Tech. Are we talking about these players as often as we do on this show? Are we in the same boat as other media and radio people around the country? I feel like the Redskins almost prioritize local guys. Like, they sign so many dudes from their backyard. I wonder if that happens with every NFL team geographically.
Yeah, anecdotally, I couldn't tell you.
And I just don't pay attention. But the number of guys, like, just think about this group right here. Sean Davis went to Maryland. Everyone's doing the Hia Terp shtick. Logan Thomas, Virginia Tech from Lynchburg. Kendall Fuller, same thing. And people like guys more for that reason. Like, to me, where you went to high school and, you know, whether or not you shopped at the same Kohl's I did, it's completely irrelevant. But it just seems like the Redskins really put an emphasis on or care more about and or just feel comfortable with guys that are from this area, and I wonder if there's any actual benefit, because I wouldn't think that there is.
Yeah, there doesn't seem to be much benefit. Remember, they thought that because Dwayne Haskins went to Bullis, people would be really excited. I think people are in love with the fact that Chase Young went to DeMatha. I've heard that a few times. And that's why they can't fathom the idea of trading out of the number two pick to fill a bunch of holes on this roster.
Right.
I'm with you. There's no benefit. I don't care where you're from. I don't care if you're from Hawaii, Thailand, whatever. I don't care. Can you
Thailand,
play
there are a lot of players from Thailand. That
it's a hotbed of NFL
intrigued
talent.
Intrigued by this free agency period.
You know that. I mean, everyone knows that, obviously. It's just one of those unmined places. But, I couldn't tell you because I'm not able to follow the other teams as closely. Like, how many Boston College players are the Patriots signing? You know what I mean? How many Minnesota State Screaming Eagles are the Vikings signing? I don't know. But I do feel like that when it's sort of – if you outside of the marquee players, right, where you're going from Alabama, Ohio State, et cetera, you're basically saying, well, let's break a tie. Did he go to Virginia Tech? Did he go to Maryland? You know, or did he go to Towson? Let's go ahead and sign him up and
right.
See if we can get some local fans out of it. But it's also harkening back to the days of yore – I'm sure it's yore – but like 20, 30, 40 years ago where, like, regional scouting was an advantage.
That's my point.
You know?
Like, now you are all over the country. I mean, you – scan every portion of the earth to find the next player. So much money is invested in this. I get the stories like Adam Thielen, who showed up for some like rookie camp with the Vikings because he went to Minnesota State and, you know, nobody knew anything about him and he was just in their backyard and some guy said, I know a guy who knows a guy who coached him. Let's bring him in here. I understand those stories. I do. But in free agency or just every single year, it seems like, you know, there's so many Hokies or guys with Virginia and Maryland connections. And I'm not anti it. I think it's cool. My point is I just don't know how much it helps, and fans seem to enjoy it a lot. I care about who plays football well, who's going to help me win games, and I really don't care what college you went to. Let's go to Kevin in Arlington on Grant and Danny. You can call us at 800-636-1067. Kevin, three more minor moves, pretty much all minor transactions so far for the Skins. Your thoughts on their offseason with really only one splash, if you will, and that was the $10 million a year for Kendall Fuller to come back.
Well, honestly, guys, and for taking my call, it took a couple of days for me to figure out exactly what they were doing and to see it's actually quite different from a Bruce Allen free agency. They're going for players with positional versatility. They're going for under-the-radar guys that are either low-cost or medium-cost. I hearken back to Kyle Smith saying, we're using free agency to fill our needs so that we can take the best player available in the draft. We don't want to overpay in free agency. The one swing they made for Cooper, he was arguably the best young impact player available. It sort of makes sense. It's a need. But, you know, at the end of the 3 days, you have to say, we've added two young studs to our secondary to start in Sean Davis and Kendall Fuller. And, I mean, if you look at our defense with the depth we added at linebacker as well, I mean, Jack Del Rio has a full hand, okay? It's up to him to mold them into winning units. So, honestly, I feel like we're on the right track, but I totally do not have a clue what we're going to do at both left tackle and swing tackle, but there's time.
Yeah, or tight end. Thanks for the call,
Thank
Kevin.
You, buddy.
I mean, I'm worried about left tackle. Donald Penn has said he's not going to retire. He'd be interested in coming back to the Redskins. He's 37. And if you're going to sign a guy that old, maybe Jason Peters would have been the idea. But the word you use that I love is versatility. That is a Kyle Smith word that he has used every time he's talked publicly. He loves players who can give you options and play multiple positions. Let's go out to Ashburn, where the Redskins train, and talk to Nick. Nick, you're on Grant and Danny. How are you?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, buddy.
So, if it weren't for the Amari Cooper swing and miss, I would have said that the Redskins' approach this offseason was sort of a reflective maturity, you know, a realization that they probably weren't going to be competing for a division title in 2020. And so rather than breaking the bank on high-priced free agents, they were going to, like, you know, like we were saying a minute ago, they're going to fill in some gaps, finding some versatile players, and not trying to mortgage – you know, 4 or 5 years down the line for an attempt to win, you know, now or in 2021. Now, the Cooper signing, you know, the Cooper attempt maybe, you know, throws a little wrench into my theory there, but I still think that's what it is. It's like, you know, it's Rivera coming in and working with Smith and saying, look, we're probably not going to compete for a title in 20, so let's kind of build up with some young guys that can establish some depth for us and then, you know, work through the draft to build this team.
I think that's on point. And the point I just made via Twitter, I met Funny Danny, Grant's at Grant H. Paulson, GP, is right now they have just over $11 million in terms of dead cap. But when you add in Alex Smith's 21.4 and treat that as dead cap, because that's money, that's salary cap space that's allotted, they've got the third most dead cap right now this year in the NFL. The other two teams ahead of them, Panthers, Jaguars, both expected to be disasters, both not able to compete. The Redskins know that if you start mortgaging things, if you start going huge, you've still got a, you know, lower ceiling than everybody else, and they're building this thing slowly, which I like.
At 11 o'clock, a study came out with the industries most crushed by what's going on with the coronavirus in the United States. We can get into that. Next, we'll introduce our poll today, and the quarterback carousel has been spinning more wildly than we've ever seen. There are a couple of seats left. The three teams that still need QBs, the guys who could fill those spots, and with the dust settled, what everything looks like at the QB position in the NFL. We'll do it next on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
We're brought to you by Paul Henry's Windows. Redskins with some pieces yesterday, taking in former Steeler, University of Maryland, and the Murray School product, Sean Davis. He comes aboard to play DB. Then they turn offensive with J.D. McKissic, the former Seattle Seahawks running back, 2 years, allegedly the agreement there. And Logan Thomas this morning, according to John Keim, the former Virginia Tech quarterback, now turned tight end in the NFL. 16 grabs last year for Detroit, playing all 16 games for the Lions. He will come over, the 6'6", 250-pounder, to add some tight end depth for the Redskins. Meanwhile, college basketball put out a final AP poll. Kansas got 63 of the 65 first-place votes. Gonzaga got a first-place vote, finishing second. And finishing third, Dayton with the other first-place vote. Maryland was number 12 in the final poll. Virginia, 17. And West Virginia came in at number 24. March is the month of uncertainty. Is it going to be cold or start to warm up outside? Today, it's going to be warm. During the month of March, you'll save $100 on every window purchased. Contact us today for a free estimate at PaulHenrysWindows.com. From the Crop Metcalf 5-Star Sports Desk, I'm Pete Medher, Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan.
The latest non-sports poll. We're doing one on Grant and Danny throughout our coronavirus shows. Has been posted. It's at Grant H. Paulson right now. It just went to the presses. You can be the first to vote right now at Grant H. Paulson. The question today, Danny. What is the best sports bar appetizer? The four options we've got for you. Mozzarella sticks, potato skins, nachos, or wings.
I'm staring at that poll right now, hovering over my, it's not a mouse, you know, it's a touchpad on your keyboard with a click spot. I don't know what to pick here. This is all mood-based for me, right? I
mean, it is very mood-based.
Obviously, wings are the standard bearer, and me voting against wings feels, you know, un-American, but you're going to tell me fried mozzarella cheese with breading on the outside is going to lose to something? Potato skins where you can put the whole world in there? And, oh, by the way, nachos. Nachos, man. That's a hard one. Great poll by you.
Thank you. Yeah, potato skins are excellent as long as you use the correct cheese, kind of like the shredded cheese that's melted in an oven with some bacon. Put a couple chives, whatever you want to, on there. The crispy. You know, I like the bacon filled potato skins that are like stand a baked potato up on its end, okay? Think like a football when a holder's holding it before a field goal.
I'm with you.
So you put the baked potato up on its end, now you just cut it in half, you hollow it out a little bit, and you fill it back in with different things. The cup almost, that's what I'm looking for. But nachos, I don't know that I've ever ordered nachos. I've picked at other people's nachos when offered. But I've never once sat down and ordered nachos. I threw that in there because I think a lot of people like them.
Yeah, so and that for may me, be my vote because I love them so much.
Oh, man. See, this is a three-horse race, and nachos is getting lapped. I mean, I hope they don't have to pull out those like big boards and put them around nachos while they lift it into a truck to drive off to some like glue factory or something. The other three horses have just left them way behind. Nachos may have hurt a leg or something like that.
Because you can do so many things with the nachos. Obviously, it's chips and cheese at the end of the day. And they last the longest, right? Because you can keep picking at them and keep watching your show, watching your sport, right? While you keep going with the nachos, you can do super spicy. You can do, like, the where were we when you and me had some nachos recently? Was it you and me or was it, like, somebody else? Was it my wife?
I can't remember anymore. Me.
Well, I had a, like a smokehouse. Oh, you know what it was? I was with my wife. We were in St. Michael's. I had, like, a barbecue smokehouse nacho situation, and it was savory, and it was unbelievably good. And I'm just going, why don't I do this all the time? Why don't I just have brisket or smoked pork or pulled pork right on top of cheese and chips? And it was one of the greatest things I've ever had. And then I went on to have like a kind of a pedestrian meal, but I was like, look, I could have just eaten those. Now I could have gotten four orders of those nachos for myself and been so happy. What am I going to do? I tell you what I'm doing. I'm voting for mozzarella sticks. It's done. I voted. Oh man, that's
wow.
Done. I voted.
Didn't see that coming.
I just voted. I had to make a choice.
I think I'll vote wings, but I haven't made up my mind yet. I'm giving potato skins some heavy consideration.
Well, wings is rolling right now, I'll tell you that. Wings has half of the vote.
Oof. Early. Very early. Only about 6% of precincts reporting. The exit polling says it's going to tighten, I think. You know, a lot of people are concerned about the electability of wings. So we're going to find out as we get closer whether or not they get enough votes. Just want to get this out of the way before we move on to quarterbacks. This happened a little bit before we went on the air today, and it's relevant to you guys listening because it's an NFC East storyline. The Eagles have traded for Darius Slay from the Detroit Lions. Now, I don't think Slay, Danny, today is what he was maybe three seasons ago. He'll be 30 at the end of this season going into the playoffs. He'll be 29 all year long. He's still outstanding, though.
I think that dude
2 years ago, he defended 26 passes. Last year, it was only 13. That year in 2017, he was a defensive player of the year in the league type. He had 8 picks, and he broke up another 26 passes while making 60 tackles, and nobody threw on him. In 2019, down to 2 picks and 13 passes broken up. But he is a playmaker. He's legit. The Eagles are giving up a 3rd-round pick and a 5th-round pick for him. I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't have mind the Redskins doing something similar to that. I just think he's outstanding at a critical position that everybody needs 2 or 3 of. And if you don't have a corner like Slay, you're searching for one. But good for the Eagles, bad for everyone else in the NFC East, because he's I know it's easy to beat up on him after he missed a couple games last year, a game in 2018, and he seems to be trending in the wrong direction. But maybe a change of scenery to a contender will help him.
Well, Detroit plays the most man of anybody in the NFL, and that's a really good man corner. So, you know, again, it's one of those situations where, I think of Josh Norman leaving Carolina or Richard Sherman if he's going to leave Seattle. If you've got a guy like that who's good at one thing, maybe you have him do that thing instead of, you know, convert him to a different system, right? Like think of Albert Haynesworth leaving the comfort of a 43 to ask to be nose tackle. Chaos ensues, right? So if the Eagles are going to ask him to sort of stick with guys in man and play aggressive and play bump, I think he could still do that at a very high level. I think Darius Slay is really, really good. People beat up on Detroit, and they kind of don't think he can play anymore because of how bad Detroit's defense was and really has been the last couple of years, especially against the pass. So I think people wrongly think that Slay isn't any good anymore. You're right. He's not what he was a few seasons ago, but that dude is still excellent, in my opinion.
I love what the Eagles have done so far in getting Javon Hargrave coming over from the Steelers at $13 million a year to play D-tackle, and now you go get Darius Slay on the back end. I mean, they have dramatically improved that defense. They got to keep Carson Wentz healthy. That goes without saying.
Yep.
You know, by you can let Jason Peters leave because Dillard, who you drafted in the first round, is awesome coming over from the Pacific Northwest in college where he never gave up any sacks in like 700 snaps. You saw last year that their O-line is going to be just fine with or without Peters. They've got some wrinkles to work out still, including really needing some wide receiver help, and maybe they'll rely on a deep wide receiver draft class to do that. But the Giants have added a couple really good defensive players as well. You know, you and I didn't want to pay James Bradbury $15 million at all, but it goes without saying that when you bring him in, your secondary gets better. Mm-hmm. Blake Martinez made 155 tackles for the Packers last
Sneaky
year.
Sneaky good signing, man. I think that's smart by the Giants. I like him.
I do, too. $10 million a year for him at inside linebacker. I mean, you compare that to Thomas Davis, who's going to be 37, or you know, Kevin Pierre-Lewis, a couple of the guys that that the Redskins have signed at linebacker, bringing back Bostic. There's no doubt that Martinez is a better player. Now, you're also probably paying those three guys combined per year what the Giants are paying him. And then you go to the Cowboys, and really it's been quiet for them other than, I don't know, spending all their money on the tag for Dak and Amari Cooper, so they're keeping the big three together at a pretty expensive rate. Let's get into quarterbacks next, though. Tom Brady to Tampa Bay, Phil Rivers to Indy, Teddy Bridgewater to Carolina, Nick Foles to Chicago, Marcus Mariota. I guess one of these is not like the others. Las Vegas. You're seeing a bunch of big names who have been drafted at the top of the board or been in and won Super Bowls or been some of the best backups or starters in the league over the last few years change addresses. There are still three teams in need of starting quarterbacks. There are two starting caliber quarterbacks available. There's another that could be traded who has started for his entire career but might not be of that ilk anymore. So we can try to figure out how the QB situation is going to sort itself out coming up next. And remember, at 11, we'll get into the industries that have been hit the hardest by coronavirus. You're listening to Grant and Danny on The Fan. G&D 106.7 The Fan. Listen, it means a lot you guys are still listening to the show and you're finding a way to do so and you are making us part of these very surreal, weird, bizarre days for you. Thank you. You're not in your car as much. You're not going to work. Your routines have been upended like everybody else's. And if you're still using a Google Home or Amazon Alexa or any other smart devices, including your phones and radio.com to listen to us, it really does mean a lot, and we are indebted to you. And you know, it goes without saying, Danny, radio is going to get pummeled like everything else.
Sure.
And we rely upon people making the choice to listen to us to keep making this work and to allow us to have these really cool lives. So people that are sticking with us during everything going on with so many options and so many things that you can and can't do right now, it just means more than ever. So thank you.
Well said, my friend. This is, I think, the phrase that I keep coming back to in this whole thing is, we're all in this together. Whatever this is, we're all kind of doing it, right? And, you know, everybody's going to have ups and downs and bad moments and maybe some fun moments, and there's, you know, there's some positive. I've gotten to spend an outrageous amount of time with my kids that I normally wouldn't get to if this wasn't happening right now, you know? And it, I know we sort of complain and make jokes about it, but it's honestly been a lot of fun to sort of have some of these different projects and do things. And, you know, the logistics we're juggling, everybody is in the same boat. And that's kind of what I remember. I mean, I remember going back to the first moments of me being a parent, scared to death. Obviously, I'm sure you and so many of our listeners can relate to that. And I'm going, everyone else has done this too. Quite literally, billions and billions of people have gone through this exact same thing. Yep. You'll be fine. You will be fine. We will all be fine. This is awkward. This is weird. We'll be fine. We're in this together.
Yeah, absolutely. And soon enough, hopefully, there's going to be some normalcy and we'll get back to doing things the way that we did before. But in the meantime, stay safe and stick to yourselves. I just saw a picture online. It actually made me laugh. It was on Instagram. And it's a great idea. So kudos to whoever did it. But there's like six dudes who are about 40 years old. And it's apparently a meeting, I'm guessing, that happens every day between these dads in this little cul-de-sac. And they're all about 10 feet apart holding beers. So they just come out with their beers. They're talking to each other. But they're actually spaced out like 10 feet apart for social distancing beers, which is pretty funny. All right, here's what I can best tell about the quarterback situation. So with the dust starting to settle here, Brady to the Bucs to play with Arians, Rivers to the Colts reuniting with Frank Reich, Bridgewater to Carolina with Matt Rhule, Nick Foles to Chicago reuniting with Matt Nagy, and then you got Marcus Mariota to Vegas. John Gruden loves him. We'll see if Derek Carr becomes available in a trade or if Mariota's going over there to be a backup, which the way he's played the last couple years is probably the most likely situation. I've got two starting caliber quarterbacks that I think could land starting jobs and then maybe be supplanted depending on what happens in the draft. And then a third guy that might be able to get some starts this year depending on where he ends up.
All right.
To go along with three teams, if you're ready for this, that still need starters.
Give it to me. Shoot.
So I went all around the league. These are the only three teams I came up with right now that I would say have an opening at starting quarterback. The Chargers. Starter as of this moment is Tyrod Taylor. I think we know what that looks like when you go that route.
Mm-hmm.
The New England Patriots, after Tom Brady left, is Jarrett Stidham really going to be their guy? I have a hard time believing that. And the Miami Dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
Fitzpatrick, Rosen, kind of whatever that was last year. Those are the three teams. Now, obviously, I'm saying Bengals get Burrow, so that's why they're not on this list.
Right, that's what I was going to say, yeah.
So I'm just giving Burrow to the Bengals. The Dolphins could very easily go get Tua Tagovailoa, but in the meantime, don't have a guy. The names that I've got as available, Cam Newton could start for any of those three teams. I think he'd be better than Tyrod with the Chargers. He'd be better than Stidham with the Patriots, and he'd probably every bit as good or better than anybody the Dolphins have as of right now. Is that fair?
100%.
All right, the other guy I've got is Jameis Winston. Winston, I think, would be better than Tyrod, very different than Tyrod. It just depends. Do you want a guy who throws 14 touchdowns and 4 interceptions, or do you want a guy who throws 25 touchdowns and 17 interceptions? And that's kind of what you got to figure out. Who would you rather have, Tyrod or Jameis?
It depends on who I am, right? If
I want someone
to not screw me, if I'm the Chargers, I think I might actually prefer Tyrod Taylor to Jameis. I know that's a hot take, but here's why.
I don't know that it is, honestly. It really isn't.
I feel they're so talented, I just need a caretaker. I don't need a Nuke LaLoosh quarterback who's going to lead the league in yards, touchdowns, and turnovers if I'm the Chargers. I'd be okay with Tyrod Taylor. I think you could just conservative your way to, you know, 10 wins. Even in that great division, with as good as Kansas City is, I think they're really, really talented. And they just need someone to hand it off, throw a couple screen passes, maybe take a shot down the field to Mike Williams. But for the most part, you know, you're passing on third and five to Keenan Allen. Yeah.
You know, with Rivers, you had Jameis last year, honestly.
Yeah.
And you saw that it didn't work for them. New England, I would take Jameis over Stidham, I think. I just don't know anything about Stidham, so I can't speak authoritatively
on
that.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you anything about him.
And then Miami, it almost doesn't matter, because if you go get Cam or you get Jameis or anybody else, if you get either Herbert, which I think the Chargers will do in the top 10, by the way, if they don't go get Tua, that's the other thing. Whoever they sign, I think, is getting replaced by their rookie midseason.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it'll take a little longer to supplant the starter. because the offseason is going to be weird and thrown off this year. And you're not going to get the same reps on the field in the grass that you need. So maybe instead of starting right away or in week two or three or four, you know, you're starting Dwayne Haskins style for like the last eight or nine games. But that's something to keep an eye on. The last guy I'll throw out there is Joe Flacco. Because remember, the Broncos are going to – I said Broncos weird there. The Broncos.
Broncos. Flacco's.
The Broncos are going to Drew Lock, who actually looked decent at times last year. Really good, in fact.
He had a few nice moments, man. He did.
We'll see what he is. We don't know yet. Jury is very much still out. But Flacco is on the trade market. So for years we correctly said he wasn't very good, and the Ravens eventually came around to that. 2 or 3 years probably too late. He leaves and they go to the top of their division with another quarterback. Then he goes to Denver. He gets supplanted by Drew Lock, and they're now ready to move on from him after that weird trade that they made, which made no sense. But Flacco could be, you know, he's back with – he was starting over Tyrod for years with the Chargers. Flacco could be a fit, I think, if Bill Belichick wants to do quarterback wins, though, and bring in a guy that won a Super Bowl. I could see him competing with Stidham or something in New England. And I haven't heard that, but I don't think it's crazy.
No, but think about this, though. That's the market they're in, right?
Yes, because I agree.
You don't have a top pick. You don't really have the – I mean, I suppose they could use some of their ammunition to trade up, but that's not Belichickian. They don't do that. They trade out and get themselves second and third round sort of day two selections. But I guess you could use some of your currency on a Joe Flacco, but that's the class of quarterback they're in, letting Tom Brady walk away.
Which is why yesterday when we talked about who has a better chance to win right away in the next year or two, I said Brady over Belichick, even though I think Belichick was more responsible for the Patriots dynasty, because I just don't know how they're going to fix the QB position.
Yeah.
And it's just too important to not have an answer that you like. I mean, if we're talking about Joe Flacco or Jarrett Stidham, I don't know. You pick your guy. Who's the best option for them? Stidham, Flacco, Jameis, Cam. We're not mentioning Dalton, who I guess Dalton is on the trade market.
Sure.
Maybe Dalton is the most likely Patriot. He's certainly the name linked to them the most.
You know, I tell you, this is going to, again, this may be hot take-ish, but I'd spin the wheel with Cam if I'm New England, because it's a one-year situation, right? And if it doesn't work, okay, now I'm in, you know, draft market or figure something else out. It can be a short-term relationship so that everybody gets something out of it. But I would actually spin the wheel with Cam Newton, believe it or not. That's the floor is the same as the other guys, right? It's a disaster. It's not going to work out, whether he's hurt or otherwise. I think the ceiling is the highest with him. And for a team that's ready-made, as they always are, despite, you know, maybe lack of marquee names here and there, I think that could be the play.
Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. Hour number two kicks off next. I got a little study sent to me today of some of the industries and the businesses that have been most affected by what's going on with coronavirus. Figured we could get into that, take a look at some of those, and also some of the storylines, including Uber with a great offer for people, Adam Silver with a big idea for the NBA that could help us get through what's going on right now. And again, we appreciate all of you so much for listening to Mod Time. You're locked in to 106.7.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.